All right, get ready, because today we are diving deep into the 14 stages of spiritual liberation.
Ooh, sounds intense.
It is, but also fascinating. We're taking inspiration from an article on the Spiritual Seek website.
Okay, I'm familiar with that site.
Yeah, and this article, it's not just about, like, meditation and incense, though.
Right, right.
This is about understanding the journey from being completely unconscious to, you know, fully aware. And it gets pretty wild.
I can imagine there are a lot of paths to awareness.
Exactly. And we're going to break down these 14 stages.
Okay.
See what they actually mean, like, practically.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe even figure out where we each land on this whole journey.
Sounds fun. I'm game.
Okay. So we're starting off with samsara and moksha.
Two big concepts.
Huge in Eastern thought. Samsara is the whole reincarnation cycle.
Okay. Familiar with that one.
So souls are just bouncing from life to life, forgetting everything they learned along the way.
Right. Like hitting the reset button each time.
Which makes you wonder, why even come back if you're just going to forget it all?
Yeah. What's the point?
Right. What is this trap that the article keeps mentioning?
The trap. It's like that feeling when you're stuck, you know.
Okay.
Doing the same things over and over.
Like a rut.
Exactly. A soul rut. The article, it kind of suggests there might be forces.
Okay.
Whether they're internal, external, I don't know, that keep us in this cycle.
So we're drawn back to Earth even if we don't know why.
Like moths to a flame.
Ooh, that's a good analogy.
Right. Even though we don't consciously remember why we keep coming back.
Okay, so that's where these 14 stages come in, right?
They're like a map, I guess you could say.
To help us escape this soul rut.
And reach moksha.
That state of total freedom from the cycle.
Exactly. It's like leveling up, but for your soul.
I like that. Each stage is a shift in awareness.
Like shedding those illusions.
Getting closer to actual liberation.
Right.
So, stage one, ignorance.
Oh, boy.
Think Plato's cave.
Okay. I see where you're going with this.
We're all prisoners just staring at shadows and thinking they're the real deal.
Classic. And it takes a lot of effort to break free from those chains.
Oh, sure.
To question, like, what we think is even real.
And the article, it makes a point that a lot of wrongdoing, it comes from not knowing any better.
Just trapped in our limited view.
Exactly. So let's get real for a sec.
Okay.
What are some of the caves we're chilling in today, totally oblivious?
Oh, so many. Think social media echo chambers.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone agrees with you all the time.
Reinforcing all those maybe even flawed beliefs.
Right. Or just how we go along with societal norms without ever stopping to think, why am I even doing this?
Ouch. Yeah.
Makes you think.
For sure. Okay. Stage two is sensoriality.
Ah, yes.
Which basically means like instant gratification.
Driven by what feels good right now.
Are you letting your senses rule your life?
Ooh, good question.
Always after that next tasty meal, that new gadget.
Sounds familiar.
At stage two calling.
Definitely. Eastern traditions, especially Hinduism, they emphasize this a lot.
That being attached to those physical pleasures.
Keeps us stuck in the material world.
So it's not about never enjoying a good burger, right?
Right, of course not.
But being aware of why we're making the choices we make.
Exactly, finding that balance.
Between indulging and being, like, ruled by our senses.
Right. Do you find happiness in things or do you find it inside?
Okay. Deep stuff.
Okay.
Stage three, fear.
Ah, yes. The primal one.
That gut feeling, dread of the unknown, keeps us playing small.
But the article says facing our fears, that's the first step to wisdom.
Ooh, I like that.
Think about what you're missing because fear is holding you back.
So true. But facing those fears can feel so overwhelming.
It can be.
Which brings us to stage four, consolation.
Oh, the comforts.
How do you deal with the tough stuff?
Good question.
Binge watching. Shopping sprees.
Maybe a little online shopping, yeah.
That could be consolation in action.
Keeping you from facing reality.
And the article says modern society.
Oh, it's a master at distraction.
Always offering those quick fixes so we don't have to deal with the big stuff.
Exactly. Comfort over confrontation.
No wonder we get stuck.
Right.
So how do we break free? Stage five, uncertainty.
Ah, here we go.
This is where those cracks in our perfect little world start to show.
Things get real.
We realize those quick fixes aren't actually fulfilling.
And that can be scary.
It's like waking up from a dream, but the real world isn't what you expected.
Exactly. But that unsettling feeling,
yeah,
it's actually good.
Really?
It means you're ready to question everything.
Step outside that comfort zone.
Find something more genuine.
Okay. Discomfort equals growth. I'm trying to get on board with that.
It's a process.
It is. So once we embrace the unknown.
Then what?
Stage six, doubt.
Ooh, interesting.
And this isn't about being negative.
Right, not just pessimism.
It's about channeling your inner Socrates,
I like that.
questioning everything.
The doubt is the engine of critical thinking.
It pushes you to break free from the herd mentality.
You're not just following blindly anymore.
You're thinking for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And realizing that you can figure things
Y'all
out.
can challenge the status quo.
Chart your own path.
Love it.
Yeah.
And that leads us to stage 7 research.
The quest for knowledge.
We're actively seeking answers now.
It's about going beyond just absorbing information.
Right.
You're engaging with it.
So whether it's meditation, spiritual texts, whatever,
Debates, even
the
science.
key is to be curious.
What keeps you up at night? What are the big questions?
Ooh, yeah.
This is your chance to find out.
So it's not about just knowing a lot of stuff.
No, it's about making it yours,
Okay.
forming your own conclusions.
I like that. And that brings us to stage 8, astonishment.
Here we go.
Things are getting exciting.
This is where you see the world with fresh eyes,
Yeah?
like a kid seeing something for the first
I
time.
love that feeling.
The world is full of wonder.
So much possibility.
But be warned, this stage, it doesn't always last
Oh, yeah.
like a sugar rush.
Okay.
The excitement fades and leads to stage 9, disenchantment.
This is where that midlife crisis is feeling hits.
Could be, yeah.
That wait, is this IT moment?
It's all about how you handle that feeling.
So this stage is about facing the reality that some of your hopes and dreams.
Might have been illusions.
Ouch.
The article highlights two paths here.
Okay.
You either regress back to stage 4, seeking comfort, or you use this disillusionment as fuel to make a difference.
So wallow in disappointment or channel it into something positive.
You got it.
Okay, big choice. And that takes us to stage 10, social commitment.
All right, putting it all into action.
You're not just sitting on the sidelines anymore.
You got to contribute to something bigger.
But isn't all action, even selfless action, motivated by some kind of desire?
That's a good question.
How do we know if we're truly free from that?
That's something to think about.
Right.
The article raises that point. Can we ever be truly selfless?
Whoa,
Are we always seeking some kind of reward?
even unconsciously.
It makes you wonder.
It does. So if we are seeking something, where does that leave us?
That's a question we'll explore more as we go.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
But first, we've got to deal with stage 11 disillusionment.
Wait, didn't we already do disillusionment?
This is like disillusionment 2.0.
Oh boy.
Back in stage 9, it was about realizing our own limitations
Okay.
this time.
Yeah.
It's about realizing we can't force change on others.
Oh, I see.
It's about accepting that everyone is on their own journey.
And we can't control their choices.
Nope. Or the
It's
outcomes.
like learning to let go of the need to fix everyone.
It is. This is where Stoic philosophy comes in handy.
Okay, the Stoics.
They emphasize focusing on what we can control,
Which is.
our own thoughts, our own actions, our
That makes
emotions.
sense.
Everything else is outside our control.
And trying to control it just leads to frustration.
Exactly. So it's about finding freedom.
And surrender.
Yes, accepting what we can't change.
Okay, that's a tough one.
The article says this stage is a point of no return. Once you get it, it changes your whole perspective.
I'm starting to see how these stages build on each other.
They do. Each one goes deeper.
And that brings us to stage 12, detachment.
Not checking out a life.
Okay, good, because that's what I was thinking.
It's not about becoming a hermit.
Okay.
It's about detaching from needing things to go a certain way.
So finding peace that doesn't depend on what's happening around you.
You got it.
So it's like riding the waves of life without getting knocked off your board.
I like that. That's a great analogy.
And the article says meditation is key.
It is. It helps you train your mind to be present.
So it's not just about chilling out.
It's about observing without getting swept away.
Okay, a mental workout.
It is, and an ongoing
I'm
practice.
seeing that this journey isn't just about understanding,
Right.
it's about actually putting it all into practice.
And that brings us to stage 13, conscious indifference.
That still sounds kind of paradoxical.
I know, right?
Like you just don't care.
It's not about apathy. It's about recognizing that everything changes.
Your experiences, your stuff, your relationships, even.
And not letting those things control how you feel.
So staying calm no matter what happens.
It's about equanimity.
Finding that inner peace, regardless of what's going on.
And the key here is self-awareness.
So you're not ignoring the world, you're just choosing how to respond.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. And finally, we've reached the peak, stage 14, inner liberation.
Musha.
This is the grand finale.
breaking free from that cycle.
Transcending the illusion.
Realizing your true nature as a spiritual being.
Sounds intense. But what does that actually mean?
What happens after moksha?
Yeah.
That's the big mystery. The article says, at this stage, you have complete free will.
Whoa.
You choose what happens next.
No rules of samsara anymore.
The possibilities are endless.
Okay, my mind is blown.
We've covered a lot.
We have, but I feel like we're just scratching the surface.
We are. In part two, we'll go deeper into some of these concepts. Explore what these stages actually mean for daily life.
Awesome.
And tackle those big questions about free will and what happens after we break free.
I can't wait.
Stay tuned.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, Deep Divers. Part one. Oh, man.
That was intense.
We trekked through those first seven stages.
Seven down, seven to go.
And my brain is still doing backflips.
Right.
We were talking about this trap of samsara.
Right, right.
What keeps us stuck in this reincarnation loop?
It's like that song, you know.
Which one?
Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like.
Oh, yeah.
But you can never leave.
So good.
The article, it's suggesting it's all about attachment.
Attachment to what?
Clinging to stuff, desires, even the idea of ourselves as like separate egos.
So we're all hoarders, just accumulating different kinds of baggage.
In a way, yeah.
But why? Why keep coming back to this cosmic flea market if it's just going to weigh us down?
That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some say it's like a natural desire to experience, to learn, to grow. It's like we're drawn to the drama.
Even the pain and suffering.
Even that, yeah.
Wow.
Others that go more mystical.
Okay, like what?
Saying our souls are like fragments of a larger consciousness, yearning to reunite with the source.
Okay, so lots of theories, but no real answers.
Right.
But here's what I don't get.
What cat?
If we're forgetting our past lives,
mm-hmm.
what's the point of learning and growing?
Good point.
It's like going to school and having your memory wiped clean every summer.
I know what you mean. Think of it like building a muscle, though.
Okay.
Every time you lift weights, you tear down fibers.
Right, right.
But they rebuild stronger.
So each lifetime is like a rep at the soul gym.
You could say that, yeah.
Okay.
Strengthening our compassion, our wisdom, our love.
So even though we hit forget when we die,
mm-hmm.
we're still getting stronger.
In a way. Yeah, okay, I like that. And as we move through these stages,
yeah.
we're less driven by those unconscious desire.
Yeah.
You know, karma, and we can use our free will to shape our destiny.
Interesting.
More freedom as we go, you could say.
I like that. We were also talking about stage 10, social commitment.
Right. Questioning if anything is truly selfless.
The article was like, even when we do something nice,
yeah.
there's that sense of satisfaction.
That little ego boost.
Right. It's hard to know if we're ever really doing something without expecting something back.
It is, even if it's just a pat on the back from our own conscience.
So how do we know if we're stuck in that loop or if we're actually being compassionate?
That's where those later stages come in.
Okay.
As we move toward detachment
mm-hmm.
and conscious indifference,
yeah.
our motivations, they become less about personal gain
okay.
and more about just being good in the world.
Like, it's just who you are.
Exactly. Not because you're looking for something.
Makes sense.
It's about being conscious of why you do what you do.
And making sure your actions match your values.
Right. Okay.
That's deep.
It is, but important.
For sure. Now, back to those later stages. Detachment, it still sounds a bit like checking out of life.
It's not about that.
Okay, good.
It's about detaching from needing a certain outcome.
So not being attached to the results.
Right. Finding that inner peace.
No matter what's happening around you.
You got it.
So like riding those waves without getting knocked off your board?
Exactly. But it's not easy.
I can imagine.
The article says meditation. That's key.
Okay. Meditation.
It helps you train your mind.
To be present.
To observe your thoughts and emotions.
Without getting swept away.
Right. Not easy.
Okay. So it's like a mental workout.
It is. It's an ongoing thing.
Right. Not a one-time fix.
This journey, it's not just about understanding. You know,
it's about practice.
Yeah. Putting it into action.
Which brings us to conscious indifference.
I know. The name.
It still throws me off.
It's not about being an uncaring zombie, though.
Right. Right. You said that.
But it's about responding to everything.
The ups, the downs.
Yeah. With equanimity.
Okay. Meaning.
But you understand that everything is always changing.
Okay. So. Good things, bad things, they come and go.
Right. You don't cling to the good or resist the bad.
Just observe. Like being the eye of the hurricane.
I like that.
Everything's swirling around you, but you're calm in the center.
Exactly.
Man, this is heavy stuff.
It is.
But I see how each stage leads to the next.
Closer and closer to moksha.
That liberation from the cycle.
And here's the mind-blowing part.
Yeah.
The article says, once you reach moksha...
You're free?
You have free reign. It's like...
Really?
You're not bound by the rules anymore.
Of samsara.
But the possibilities are limitless.
So after moksha, we choose what happens next.
That's what it suggests.
No heavenly waiting room.
Some believe in merging with the divine, continuing to evolve, but in a non-physical realm.
But the key is, we have the choice.
We're not bound by karma or reincarnation.
We create our own destiny.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. My mind is officially spinning. But even if we don't believe in reincarnation, there's still a lot to learn from these stages, right?
Absolutely. Whether it's literal or metaphorical.
They give us insights into being human.
They highlight self-awareness, detachment, finding peace.
Like a cheat sheet for a good life.
Yeah. You could say that, yeah.
But there's one thing I keep thinking about.
What's that?
If this journey is about evolving, moving towards moksha, what if we go backwards?
Backslide.
Yeah, like fall back into old habits.
Does that mean we failed?
Is that even possible?
Good question. One we'll explore in part three.
Oh, good.
We'll also look deeper into free will.
Okay.
How it plays a role in samsara and moksha.
And how all these ideas can help us navigate life.
Even if we're not searching for enlightenment.
I'm definitely coming back for part three.
It's going to be good.
This is way more than just a spiritual deep dive.
I know, right?
It's like a crash course in living a better life.
That's what we were going for.
Awesome.
Join us next time as we wrap up this exploration. See how to apply this wisdom to our lives.
Okay, deep divers, welcome back. We've made it part three, the final stretch of our journey through these 14 stages.
Can you believe it?
From ignorance all the way to moksha, it's been a lot.
We've talked about samsara, selfless action, even what might be waiting for us after this life.
Right. It's mind-blowing.
It is. But before we wrap up this epic deep dive, a few loose ends.
Yes, definitely. In part two, we were wondering, what happens if we backslide?
Ah, yeah, that's a big one.
If this is all about moving forward, making progress.
Does taking a few steps back mean we've messed it all up?
Like we've failed somehow.
That's a worry a lot of people have, I think.
It's like when you finally get a handle on meditation.
Yeah.
And then life throws a curveball and you're back to stressing over traffic and spilled coffee.
Been there.
Right.
The thing is, this path, it's not linear.
Okay.
It's more like a spiral.
A spiral.
You'll have moments where you feel super connected, enlightened even.
I love those moments.
But then you'll stumble, fall back into old habits, you know?
Yeah, I know those moments too.
You start questioning everything.
So it's less about avoiding those dips.
Right.
And more about how we handle them.
Exactly. Think of it like learning to surf.
Okay, I'm listening.
You wipe out, you get tumbled, you might even swallow some seawater.
Definitely been there.
But you gotta keep paddling, you know?
Keep getting back on that board.
Keep practicing.
So those wipeouts, those failures, they're part of learning how to surf.
Part of the process.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
It's all about learning something new about yourself.
Okay.
What throws you off balance, your triggers.
And then next time?
You can make a different choice.
So it's not about being perfect.
No.
It's about progress.
Exactly. Progress over perfection.
I like that.
And each time you spiral back around to a stage,
yeah,
you're approaching it with a new understanding.
Like new tools in my toolkit.
Exactly. You're not starting over.
Building on what I've already learned.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. It's not failure.
Nope.
It's feedback.
I like that feedback.
No, free will.
Ah, yes. The big one.
We talked about samsara, that cycle of reincarnation, karma from past lives. But if our actions are all predetermined...
By past choices.
Right. Where does free will fit in? Do we actually have any control over this journey?
That's the age-old question, isn't it? Destiny versus choice.
If we're just puppets...
On strings of karma.
What's the point of even trying?
The article suggests the further we go in these 14 stages, the more free will we gain.
So it's like we're earning freedom as we progress.
In a way...
Yeah.
Interesting. Think about it. When you're caught in those early stages, driven by desires, fears, you're just reacting.
Not choosing.
Right. But as you become more self-aware, more detached from those impulses, you create space to make conscious choices.
So it's not about breaking free from karma.
No.
It's about becoming aware of how it's affecting us.
You see those patterns, the tendencies you've inherited.
And then we can choose differently.
Exactly.
So free will, it's not something we just have or don't have.
Right.
It's something we develop.
It's your self-discovery, spiritual growth.
Okay, that makes sense.
And as we get closer to moksha.
That liberation.
The article says, we gain complete free will.
Complete.
In choosing what happens next.
Whoa, that's kind of scary.
It is powerful, right?
We're not just following some cosmic plan.
Yep.
We have a say in what happens.
It all comes down to us.
This whole deep dive.
I know, right?
It's been wild. So many twists and turns, mind-blowing stuff.
Lots of questions.
But it's been really empowering.
That's good.
It's given me a whole new way to think about my own journey.
Your struggles.
My potential.
That's what we hoped for.
These 14 stages, they're not like a rule book.
Right, not a dogma.
It's a framework to explore.
Tools to help you navigate life.
Make choices that feel right to you.
Based on your values.
So even if we don't believe in reincarnation,
or even moksha,
we can still learn a lot.
Absolutely. It's about self-awareness, detachment.
Embracing uncertainty, remembering it's a spiral.
Not a straight line.
And those moments when we fall back.
When we get lost.
Those opportunities to learn and grow.
They are. You're not alone in this.
None of us are.
So keep exploring.
Keep questioning. Keep growing.
Even when it gets tough.
Because we're all in this together.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Until next time.
Keep those minds curious. Keep those spirits soaring.